Welcome to Did You See That? A podcast brought to you by BetEase. Did you know that you can win up to $10,000 just by choosing the teams you think are going to win the World Cup? All you have to do is go to BetEase.com, so BETEAZE.com for more information.
Thanks for joining us again. I am Mark Adam. I am sitting across from Braden Augustine.
Hello. How's it going?
We're going to be talking a little bit of sports for you today, since that's, you know, the whole subject of our podcast. So I thought we would start with something we didn't really get to in our first episode, which was the NBA is also having their playoffs right now.
Yeah, we answered a question about it last in one of our Q&As, but we never actually spoke about the sport itself and what's going on in the NBA.
Yeah,
So let's do that, I guess.
Now, we're from Canada, so obviously we got to start with the Raptors, who are struggling hard at the hand of LeBron James and the Cavaliers. They lost a heartbreaker in overtime in game one, didn't show up in game two.
Got creamed in game two, wasn't even close.
And that was in their home arena, too, so that was a little disheartening. And then they go all the way to Cleveland just to lose by a LeBron buzzer beater.
Yeah, well, that's basically two heartbreaking losses now. A buzzer beater and an overtime loss.
That's
crappy.
Yeah. When LeBron just floats one up from wherever he's at and it just goes in and the game's over, like, what are you supposed to do? Stings. You just put your hands in the air. Like, here's what we did wrong. It's like, it's as close as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
It literally, yeah. You were...
I think you just have to chalk that up to... You're playing against the best player in the world, so that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that it happened at that time. Like, it would have been better if it happened, like, in a game in the regular season, but no. Third game of the playoffs when you're already down 2-0. It's, like, pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, and the Celtics 76ers are having a series where, other than game one, at the last couple of games, they've been really close, 108-103, and yesterday's game was 101-98 in OT,
mm-hmm.
Which is a low-scoring game, I think, for OT, for basketball.
Yeah, right? Both of these teams are a little bit more defensive, though.
That's true. They don't have... They're not just trying to go shot for shot with LeBron. So
yeah, well, they're also... Like, they just don't have the team makeup to be high-scoring teams. Like, they're not the Warriors. They don't have, like... three-star players who all score 30 points a game or whatever.
Well, yeah, and in Game 3, the Golden State Warriors beat the pants off they lost. The Pelicans beat the pants off the Warriors, mm-hmm. is what I was trying to say, 119-100. And then the Warriors turned around in Game 4 and said, anything you can do, I can do better, 118-92. That's a thumping.
Yeah, I feel like the Warriors are just one of those teams where... Even if you, like, just beat the piss out of them in one game, they're just going to come back and do the same to you.
Well,
unless you, like,
but how does that happen?
Severely overmatched.
You lose by 19 points one night. You turn around, and in the very next game, you win by, what was that, 26 points?
Something like that.
Yeah. Like,
too many is the real
answer. But that's like a 50-point swing.
I know.
Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's going on?
I think that's just the Warriors for you. Like, well, they just show up and just beat teams. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Like,
and is it terrifying to think that 100 points for the Warriors is taking a night off?
Yeah, I know. That's insane. Like, with the Warriors, there's so many, like, threats and so many weapons that even if you shut down one, there's going to be another. So you have to shut down, like, 3 or 4 players a game before you actually get somewhere with them. And before you have to, like, start, they have to go into their bench to start getting scoring.
Like, but that's the same, I think, with the Cavaliers. Like, everybody's like, LeBron, 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 LeBron. But he's not the only player on that team that can sink buckets.
Yeah, most people thought that they would get substantially worse after the trade deadline, but it just didn't really happen. Like, they weren't, like, world beaters, best team in the East. But clearly in these playoffs, they're showing that they can still get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. They have the firepower. They have all the tools. The Raptors, unfortunately, everybody picked the Raptors, like, they had the best chance coming out of the gate when the playoffs started to win the whole thing, and they're getting absolutely manhandled by LeBron James and the Cavaliers. And we had a question on our Q&A episode, can they come back? That was when it was 2-0. Now that it's 3-0, there isn't a snowball's chance in hell.
Now it's just an even more no.
Yeah.
Like before it was like a no, but maybe. Now it's just a no. The possibility, and the answer
but the possibility exists.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're not beating the Cavaliers four games straight. I don't care how good the Raptors are this year. They have played phenomenally, and you can't take anything away from them. And it's unfortunate to me that everyone's just going to look at this series and say, well, that's who the Raptors were, mm-hmm. when they dominated all year. Mm-hmm. They dominated their first round of the playoffs, and then you run into LeBron. Like,
I think this is just another example of the team you are in the regular season doesn't translate to the team you are in the playoffs. Because you see teams in every sport, they just dominate in the regular season. They just cream everybody. It's not even close. They're like far and away the best team. And then the playoffs happen, and it gets a whole lot closer, a whole lot faster.
Absolutely.
So it's like...
Do you want to postulate who's going to end up in the final?
Ooh. Well, who's winning in series right now? I want to say this year the Rockets are going to beat the Warriors.
Oh, you think?
I know the Warriors have had the Rockets number for the past couple of years, but I think the Warriors are not as much the team as they used to be. Steph Curry's had a couple of injuries.
Kevin Durant. They're slowing down a little.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that that's any sort of consolation to the Pelicans.
Not that a 118-92 win shows that they're not a good team, but I just don't think that they're this like
juggernaut
final boss type like they have been in the cup. Like the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think the Rockets can possibly bring it to them. So I'd like to see them. And I think them being in the finals would be really fun.
I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with you. And on the East?
Ooh. I got to see who's left. Maybe. I think it's going to come down to either the Cavs or the Celtics.
Well, that's, that's...
I mean, that's basically all that's
Moneyball at this point. They're 3-0 Boston in that series and 3-0 Cleveland in the other series.
Between the two of them, I mean, I don't want to, but I got to go with the Cavs. I just don't see... Even though the Celtics...
Speaking of teams who have numbers, like, the Cavaliers have had the Celtics number...
I know.
for a while,
like,
now.
Since it was, like, the good old days of the Celtics with, like, Kevin Garnett, KG, Ray Allen,
exactly.
Paul Pierce... Like, Rajon Rondo, all of those players, like, most of them are gone now, and the Celtics are, like, their team is good, but I don't think their team is, like, where it used to be.
Yeah. And, okay, so as far as I'm concerned, I, at the start of the playoffs last year, picked the Cavaliers to meet the Warriors in the finals this year.
Okay.
And I can't waver. I can't. Okay. It's still a possibility, but I put money on the Cavaliers and the Warriors meeting again in the final this year.
Okay.
But that was when the playoffs started, before any games played. Mm-hmm. That was then. So let's...
I mean, I feel like those are two teams that you can always... Any team that LeBron's on, you can basically bet on, because it's just LeBron.
There was those...
And, like, the Warriors the Warriors. And it's pretty hard to see that they were going to slow down like they did compared to last year and the year before.
Yeah, but isn't it a little annoying that you can look... a year ahead
and be pretty close to right.
Right. Like,
I know.
And I'm not convinced I'm not going to be right. It's going to be the Warriors and it's going to be the Cavaliers. I think I'm fairly certain. Mm-hmm. Now, if that works out,
that's a pretty safe guess.
But what does that say about parity in the NBA?
Yeah. I think with the NBA, give it another 3 years maybe. And I think it's going to be a lot more teams that are going to be good. Like really good. Like, I'm thinking the 76ers are going to be even better than they are right now. The Celtics are going to be better than they are. Who else?
Okay.
I would expect.
Is it an influx of money, or is it just...
No, I think it's just an influx of young talent. Like, I think the Timberwolves are probably going to be good pretty soon.
Well, they've been working on that for a while, and they just keep coming up short.
Yeah, but that's just how the Timberwolves roll. That just seems like Minnesota sports in general. Like, Minnesota, like the Wild in the NHL have always kind of come up short. It's like, oh, like, the Timberwolves, they've come up short, the Vikings, so. But, I don't know. I think they have a lot of young talent, and I think they're going to be getting a whole lot better. But I think it's going to take a couple of years, which is unfortunate for the league.
Well, but that's the thing. I think, like, and we talked about it briefly when we talked about the Vegas Golden Knights before, mm-hmm. how the NHL right now is at an unparalleled level of parity. Mm-hmm. Like, so a team like Vegas can come into the league now and compete right out of the gate, where in other leagues that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot more disparity in the distribution of the talent because of the distribution of money in the NBA. And I think it comes with, like, there's smaller rosters, so there's, like, it's more dollars per player, so players are just like, well, I'll pay whatever penalty it is for, like, to the team to so I can go play with my friends over here. And
the NBA also has a luxury tax on their players. So basically, the more that your team makes, you have the ability to essentially buy more cap space. It's like a pretty...
That's how people use it. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a penalty for going over your cap.
So what happens is teams will load up for like 1 or 2 years and just win 2 championships or try their best to and pay that price, right? But not every club can do that. Like the Cavs can do that. The Golden State Warriors
can do
that.
But the Cavs can only do that because LeBron brings in so much money. Mm-hmm. When there was no LeBron, there were no dollar bills.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But that's the power of having a star player who wants to play in your city.
But that's what I'm saying. Remember that time he didn't want to play there and he bounced off to South Beach to play with his buddies?
To play with the Heat.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Like that was if I'm the NBA, it's embarrassing that happened.
Why?
The process of that was...
I think it's embarrassing that you have something that some teams can use and other teams can't, and not everybody has the opportunity to use it just based on how many fans there are. Like, the amount of fans that teams have or the amount of revenue they generate is at this point directly affecting how well they'll be in the future.
So it's a popularity contest.
Exactly. So the teams that make less, they're always going to be not as good because they just don't have the money to put into being better. So it's like, so you don't gain fans because you're not good. But your fans are what make you good. So what do you do?
Chicken egg, right?
Exactly. Which the rock first? And a hard place or the chicken and the egg. So you're screwed.
Yeah. But I would argue that because baseball has a similar thing. And you get the Yankees and the Red Sox who have $200+ million rosters. But then...
Like the Tampa Bay Rays.
Like the Oakland and all these other teams have tiny rosters in comparison. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more parity.
Yeah.
So what's different there? What's been figured out in that particular respect?
I don't really watch baseball, so I'm just going to kind of shoot in the dark. But I'm guessing it has something to do with the teams that don't have as much money and don't have the ability to sign these massive free agent players. They have learned to adapt to that system, and they have better scouting, better player development, right? Because... if you can just buy any player you want at any time you want, do you really need to develop players? Because you can just get the best ones whenever, because you can just pay the most for them, like the Yankees.
But what's funny is the Yankees actually have a very good development program, and that's where some of the players, like Aaron Judge, I'm pretty sure, came through their development program.
Well, I think the Yankees are just the best in general.
But they're
at everything.
But they have the money to pay those people to do it right.
Yeah. Exactly. But, right? That's what I mean.
But you know, after buying a bunch of talent, they have the money to spend on scouting and da da da. Mm-hmm. So, again, chicken egg.
Yeah, I think for a lot of like the mid tier teams in a lot of sports, but I guess we were talking about the MLB, so we'll stick with that. Is you have this kind of, like you said, chicken egg, where you can either buy new talent from other teams and keep it for a couple of years, or you can spend the money to develop for player development, scouting, all those things, where you can get multiple players. So do you want one player that's really good and will bring in your revenue because like they're a big star? Or do you want a bunch of players that you hope will be good in the future? Like, which do you choose? Because you can't have both for some teams.
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem. And bringing it back to the NBA, like the disparity is the largest, I think, as far as like top tier, bottom tier, there's the largest gap in dollars and talent in the NBA from what I can tell.
Yeah, I think it's either that or the NFL. Because if you look at the NFL, who's always good? Which teams would you say are good most of the time?
Yeah, but I think it's a little different. Right. Like the NFL is built a little different.
Well, of course, but every league is built differently, right? Every league has their own way of kind of like making teams good and keeping teams good and making bad teams good eventually. But it's like, if you look at the NFL, the teams that are always bad, the
Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns. The Detroit Lions. Like, those teams are always bad. Or for a very long
time. When they have a mediocre season, it's such an amazing deal.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, it's like when Detroit, they went like 0-16 or whatever. And the next season, they won like two games. And everyone's like, oh my God, they won a game. Whoa. And just like,
yeah.
But they won two games. Like, that's not impressive. Like, that's not an accomplishment.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns are very much like that, where
oh God, they're it doesn't, awful.
It doesn't matter what they do. They just continue to be poor. And to my argument about how the NFL is a little different, I think the problem in Cleveland there for the Browns mm-hmm. is their management. I don't think it's a lack of dollars. I think it's
of course not.
Really, and I'm going to say piss poor decision making.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL with any team has an issue with dollars, because like in the States, football is just a way of life. Like, no matter what big city you're in, most people like football. It's like Friday night is high school night, Saturday is college, Sunday is NFL or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's just football ingrained in culture, right? So it's like, even if your team is permanently bad, you still have those fans that are always going to go. Like, you see Cleveland fans, they're wearing their Bulldogs and their jersey, and they're there every game. It's
your
team is god awful, and you're there every single game without fail.
But they do this, you know, down in the States, like you say, it's a way of life. It's more like ingrained in the religion of the people.
Yeah, basically.
Like, they at dinner, they pray for the four F's. Like, thank you, Lord, for our food, our friends, our family, and our football. You know, yeah. Like, they got that, like, it's part of, it's just part of everything that they do. So
I like how you went to a Southern accent there.
Well, that's because that's how I heard it when I heard it.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, in the Deep South, football is where it's biggest, like Texas, like those places.
Yeah, they love their football and their baseball, to be honest, but But their baseball is a big deal across all of the states, obviously. Yeah.
I don't see it, but okay.
I'm not a huge baseball guy. I don't, because I grew up playing hockey and lacrosse, and
I think that's just us being Canadian.
Probably,
like, hockey is our sport, whereas like theirs is football or baseball.
Or baseball and it's baseball,
like, ours is always
like,
hockey.
Yeah, baseball is like super slow. Like, you can drink a ton of beers and still know what's going on. And I think that's what's appealing about it.
I was listening to a sports report, basically, and it was more like comedy than serious. And they said the two things that they needed to do in baseball to make it more interesting: make it like four innings, like like half the amount of innings, and make the field like 25 feet shorter at like its longest like area, right?
Yeah.
Like the warning track, move it 20 feet in, and the wall, move it 20 feet in, because then you get way more home runs. So it's not just like strikeout, 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 strikeout. Oh, single. Oh, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. It's like, that's boring. Like, we want home runs. We want like constant action.
That's sad. There's more home runs in the last couple of years than ever before. Whatever science they're working on, either the pitchers are getting worse or the hitters are getting better.
Steroids.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch baseball, but I'm gonna just assume, because there's been so many like
asterisks. Little, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this player has an asterisk now, and so does this one, and lawsuit and court case and all this crap. So it's like, is it steroids or is it like they're making better bats?
Yeah, they're for sure making better bats.
Oh, for sure.
They're also using slow motion cameras to capture exactly how the motion, like, like, there's same with golf.
Oh,
every
year,
golf gets very bad, very much better, very much better. It gets way better.
Yeah.
Thanks for the English, Adam.
Yes,
but yeah,
good
every
English.
Year, golf gets a little bit better because they work on the science. There's better drivers. There's better science in the ball. There's, you know, the swing. People swing like they work on it.
Even if you look at like the swing of a baseball player, like now versus 20 years ago, or like whatever, I don't know what timing. But, like, you see they used to swing, like, almost underhand. Like, they would go up to try to hit the ball up.
Yeah.
Now it's just swing through the ball, and it goes way farther.
Yeah.
It's, like, a lot more, like, I guess, interesting now than it was in the past.
Well, because
but
they figured out there's
a science behind
it, right?
I still think you could make your sport even more interesting.
I agree. And as a guy who – I don't watch
baseball.
I was the manager at a sports bar for 5.5 years, and every single year I would try to get into baseball.
Yeah.
But being Canadian,
exactly.
It really was hard, and to the point where, you know, the season would start, and by the time September rolled around, I could care less.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, 162 games a year also, right? That's the other thing. And any professional sport, you can play two games in one day, like the Jays did the other day.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's not. That's just not the game for me.
I almost wonder, is it? Can it really be a professional sport if you have the stamina and the ability to play multiple games in one day? Like, does that make you like an athlete that's just beyond every other sport, or does that make your sport just not physically demanding?
And well, that's like, the thing.
Which like, one is it?
I think they need to be in very good shape to do the things they're doing, mm-hmm. but it happens in such small spurts mm-hmm. that stamina is not an issue.
So it's basically like a sprinter.
Yeah.
It's like
you could run a race in the morning and a race at night.
Yeah, you like do your 100-meter sprint, you take a couple hours, and you do it again and again and again and again. You do it throughout the day. Whereas like hockey, once you're done one hockey game, there's no way in hell you're playing another hockey game on the
soccer
same day.
Soccer too, right?
Soccer.
The guys football, in soccer games are running like ultimate one. 10K. You run 10K.
I know, it's insane.
For a soccer game, right? You're not going to do that multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. You're not going to play football multiple times a day.
I guess the only thing that I could see...
They don't even play more than once a week. In football.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, good point. I guess the one kind of player that I would think can't really play more than one game in a day is a pitcher. Because they throw hundreds of pitches per game.
Yeah, well...
Like, as long as it's not three up, three down, three up, three down for every single batter. Yeah, well, which is, like, so rare.
They usually run two or three pitchers a day, but they can't pitch again for 5 days.
Yeah, exactly, right? So,
right? Like,
so that's, like, the one position where it kind of, like, has the same idea as, like, a different sport where it's hockey, football. It's, like, you play your one game, and then you're done for the week, or you're done for the couple days, or whatever it is.
Yeah, and the other thing about baseball that people really like is stats, and I could care less.
Well, that's, like...
It's so statistics-based.
That is the... If you, like... Looking at, like, micro, like, you're like, I really want to see, like, their plus-minus change if it was hockey over the course of, like, 30 games, and that'll tell me which player is better in this term or whatever. Baseball, micro differences. It's just insane.
Absolutely, I agree. And we, you know, in baseball it's called sabermetrics.
Yeah.
But hockey's actually coming around to that as far as like analytics mm-hmm. for scouts and for things like for analysts and things like that to break down stuff that with the invention of Corsi and it being like a big deal, and they almost completely discount plus minus these days.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even a factor anymore, but that used to be the telltale.
Well, exactly. That's why I use plus minus as an example, because it used to be such a big, like, oh, this player's plus 20. That means they're on the ice for 20% more goals than they allow when they're on the ice and all this, whatever, right?
But that's not how it works.
Yeah. Well, it's also just a pretty poor it's a pretty poor way to determine who's a good player and who's not. Cause like you could be on the other side of the ice with nothing in the play. And a goal gets scored. It's like if your foot is on the ice because you're just changing and a goal gets scored, that's not a fair...
You didn't affect the play.
Exactly. Like, that's not a fair stat.
And I agree. And so,
that's why Corsi's way better.
Well, because Corsi is like... Well, it's sort of like hockey's equivalent of sabermetrics in baseball, which is like every minute little tiny thing like...
Put into one number.
Exactly. Basically. Exactly.
Which is great. Like, it makes it so, like... Nice. It's like basically a rating system.
Agreed. But the difference is, in baseball, if you're a fan, you probably care about those numbers. Mm-hmm. In hockey, you don't need to care about those numbers or know what they are or know what Corsi means. You honestly, you have no, you don't have to know any of that to really
to enjoy the sport.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's so many, but I find with baseball, like the people who get a lot of enjoyment out of baseball know what a guy's like batting average is. And they know that against left-handed pitchers, he's better. And they know that he usually hits it down the right line instead of down the third baseline.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're the like statisticians almost. They really like the stats and the mathematics and all that stuff. And I just can't be bothered. Whereas hockey, it's like, I just like it because it's fun to watch and it's interesting.
Yeah, and people smash each other.
I've done my fair share of, like, stat keeping and all this stuff for hockey. I won't even attempt it for baseball. It's just too much to have to worry about at one time. Like, no, can't be asked.
So, just to wrap up on the NBA, which is where we kind of started here, the Cavaliers have to play tomorrow against the Raptors to see if they're sending the Raptors home.
Which we said they are, most likely.
It's
That's our guess.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate.
And the Celtics have a chance to close out and sweep the 76ers as well, also tomorrow. But today, the Warriors have already taken their 3-1 lead against the Pelicans with that 118-92 destruction we discussed earlier. And coming up here in
pretty soon,
a couple of minutes from the time we're recording this, the Rockets are going to play the Jazz. So by the time you're listening to this, that game will have already happened. And either Houston's going to be up 3-1 or the Jazz are going to tie this up. So we'll see how that goes later. But
let's go Rockets.
I have a feeling that come Monday night, the Celtics and the Cavaliers are going to be in the next round. Yeah, they're going to be butting heads.
Yeah, so, I could believe that too.
Let's move on. Something we didn't talk about much, particularly during our Q&A session was we didn't talk about the Jets, and we live in Winnipeg.
I know. I'm like
all the questions and comments tended to be about, they were about Boston. They were about, Pittsburgh.
Other teams that we don't
we had a question about the Raptors. We had a question about Toronto, who's already eliminated. They were all great questions and comments. Sure. But they were all about everybody except for the Jets Nashville series. So let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, it is without fail the best hockey series that I've watched. Probably ever. Like, it's every game is close, back and forth, nail biter.
It's always close until it isn't, right? Like, yeah, one team will just take off on the other one just on a dime almost.
Well, it's one of those, like, essentially what happens, and this is going to sound weird, but hear me out, whichever team scores the first goal wins the game. And I know that's not true, like, game one, Nashville scored the first 3 goals and the Jets came back. But if the Jets score first, then what we noticed, me and the people that I was watching with last night, when the Jets score first, Nashville is then forced to play more offensively. Like, they can't just sit back in their own zone and play super defensive and just guard their lead. They have to go out and try to score. And that's where the Jets get that little bit of extra space where they can get a better pass off to Laine, who can shoot a better shot. Or they can make a little quick move to the inside or the outside, or they can skate, like, by people. When Nashville's just, like, sitting in their own zone and not letting the Jets, like, really get set up, that's where Nashville has this advantage. That's why they won 2-1, and the Jets couldn't do anything for, like, the final, like, essentially period and a half. But then last night, right, it's close, and then all of a sudden, the door just gets blown off, and it's 6-2, right? So it's like, If the Jets get a lead and Nashville has to play offensively, then the Jets just start blowing them out. But if Nashville gets a lead first, then it's just
they play fun. A shutdown game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So so that's a crazy series to watch.
So much fun.
And last night, my favorite all-time Jim Houston quote happened at the end of that game.
Okay.
Nashville comes into the zone. It's already 6-2, and there's like 40 seconds left or something.
Yeah.
And they cross, and it's clear that was offside.
Oh, yeah.
It's clear. And Jim Houston calls it as he sees it, and he says, it comes in, and it looks like it was offside, but nobody cares.
Game was
6-2.
At that point, like, if you're a referee, you got to say, like, is this offside really going to matter? Like, are they, like, do the Jets really care that they're getting screwed in the last 40 seconds of a game they're winning by 4 goals? Yeah. Not really.
No.
Like, unless it's, like, so blatantly, obviously offside. Like, if it's a step, let it go. If it's, like, three, five feet, just
It was, like, you could, everybody in the building knew it was offside. Nobody said anything.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cared. It was, like, whatever.
They just let it go. Like, let the time expire.
See, the funny part is, that's the best call the refs have made this entire playoffs for any team. Like, the amount of, like,
skipping the, like,
yeah,
Nashville at this point, it literally does not matter what you do.
It makes no difference. Like,
yeah, it was pretty funny.
Well, just the refs have been making some very interesting calls. And then they finally, like, just chill out a bit. And everyone's like, yeah, they didn't call it offside. Woo, good job, refs. And it's like, oh,
yeah. Yeah, now
that's what we're happy about with reffing now.
Now, you and I live in Winnipeg.
Granted.
Tomorrow, being Monday, we're recording this on Sunday night. Tomorrow is probably going to be the most intense Monday night that it has ever existed in the history of Winnipeg.
I'm so excited. I'm like buzzing already. I'm just like jazzed. Jets hockey.
I am 100% jazzed.
I'm so excited. It's insane.
This is going to be one of those things where, or everyone's just going to, the whole city's going to be lit on fire, and I'm going to be actually excited to live in Winnipeg probably for the first time.
On fire. We're not Vancouver here. We don't riot. As far as I know, we don't riot when we lose.
So. Not that you have a lot of experience making it further in the playoffs.
Yeah, we haven't lost the Stanley Cup yet.
Winnipeg has not had its litmus test on this.
Is true. We haven't, but I don't know. I think our fans have been pretty well behaved so far. Granted, we haven't experienced any really hard losses yet.
Yeah, that's
like
that's
we lost once true. To Nashville, but that was in Nashville, and it was like kind of whatever.
Twice to Nashville.
Sorry, Minnesota. I mean. Oh. We lost once to Minnesota because it was 4-1 game three. It was the first game in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a bad game. They played pretty awful, but everyone was like, whatever, we're up 2-0.
Jets played terrible in the first game of this series against the Predators. Got outshot, 45-13? I can't remember the exact shot total, but
47-16 or something. It was basically what you said.
Yeah, it was. The point is, that's a ridiculous number.
Oh, they got smashed. It was just saying that they got smashed, and then they still won the game. So,
but that's what I mean. They played so poorly. They relied on Hellebuck like he was the only player on the ice at points, and
they would have gotten absolutely creamed if Hellebuck even had an average game. And he played unreal.
And it wasn't like they took 47 shots or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like they were. Like 47 from way outside or 47. No, it's
like 47 quality. Well, 30 probably quality chances from the inside.
Yeah, like there was, I mean, even if you discount the garbage shots that they took, that's still like 30 shots.
Yeah.
30 opportunities.
If Hellebuck had an average game, that could have easily been 6-7 goals. Like,
absolutely. And but instead, what happened?
Winnipeg. In the entire playoffs, they haven't had, a soul-crushing defeat. Like, it was Minnesota when they lost, and we're like, okay, well, we lost. We're all like, yeah, we're probably still going to win the series. You know, one bad game, it is what it is. Turns out it does happen that way. We think we're going to lose the first game in Nashville. Turns out we win that game, so everyone's really hyped about it. Like, yeah, we got outplayed, and we still took it to them. And then game two happens. It's like, yeah, we brought it to overtime in, the last couple minutes, and then, we lost in overtime. Okay, well, it's overtime. And it's like, we have never had this, soul-crushing, oh, God, this is going
to
be a hard series.
When the Sharks lost 7-0 to the...
Or, every other to the game Golden Knights. For either Pittsburgh or Philadelphia in that series. 7-0 one way, 7-0 the other way. It's just like, oi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, those are soul-crushing defeats, and we haven't gotten one of those yet.
And so what an up and down, if you're a fan. What an up and down, we kicked your ass, and here's all this trash talk.
Yeah, we kicked your ass,
and then it just comes back the next game.
Bang.
Yeah.
Well...
You hate to give Don Cherry a lot of credit, but he said you never want to beat a team that badly because it only gets them charged up to come back at you the next time.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
that's the whole thing behind refs, coaches saying okay guys, we're not going to run at the score, we're up 4-0. I think 4 is probably that kind of. Like, once you hit 4, you're like, okay, maybe let's not score anymore. Like, if we happen to, then
A 2-goal lead, in my opinion, in my experience, is the most dangerous lead in all of hockey.
Yeah.
But 4 goals is, I want to say, pretty safe unless you're the Leafs against the Bruins in the playoffs. Because historically, that has not gone well for them.
This is a very good point.
Yeah, so yes. we'll leave it at that. Yeah, what is your take on Pekka Rinne? Because... watching him play, and I picked him in my pool for the playoffs as my goalie.
That was a good pick.
So far he's getting there. I get a point for a win, but I'm not getting a whole lot of my 3 points for a shutout.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's been pulled twice in this series.
Yeah,
and he was pulled once in the series with Colorado.
Yeah, so he's played what 4 to 5, almost 8 games, 8 or 9. Am I wrong there?
How many games they play against Colorado again?
Is it 6 or 5?
I honestly do not.
Is it 4-1 or 4-2? I don't know. Anyways, it's probably about 10 games. Let's just go with that. In 10 games, you've been pulled 3 times, and you have had 0 shutouts, and most games you've, against the Jets at least, you've allowed like more than probably two goals.
I just looked it up. The Preds beat the Avalanche 4-2.
Okay, so 6 games, and we're now what? 6 games? No, 5 games into Winnipeg.
It's game 6 tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So he's played 11 games so far and been pulled in 3 of them.
Yeah, which like, is
that's not a very good record for. For a Vezina caliber,
right? He's a great NHL goalie.
Playoff goalie who made it last year to the Stanley Cup final.
You know, and again, I had rough. All kinds of faith in him when I chose him, and it has not. And I knew they were going to have to play the Jets. Mm-hmm. Like I knew they were going to beat Colorado. I knew the Jets were going to win against Minnesota. I knew that the Predators Jets was
you had a very strong suspicion.
But yeah, but my problem was that Marc-Andre Fleury had already been chosen, and Hellebuck had already been chosen, and those would have been my other two choices. But I did get my third goalie pick, which is nice. So you know, in a pool, that's great. But he has not performed to the level that I would like to have seen. You know, he's got one shutout so far in the playoffs.
I mean. The thing that I find with him is, like, every time he gets pulled, that just makes him play worse. And, like the next game, he often doesn't have a very good game coming back. So there was even Sportsnet, after one of the Jets wins, they considered, like, they talked about how they should consider starting UC Saros, their backup, which to me is absolute malarkey.
No,
there's no way that you go to your backup goalie in the playoffs as a starter, unless like something ridiculous, like if he breaks his leg,
go ahead.
Man, if he breaks his leg, I'm asking him, do you want to play? Like, are you down to play? And well, if he says no, then fine.
You have to have some faith in your backup. That said, we live in Winnipeg, and I don't think anybody has any faith in Steve Mason.
Oh my God, not a chance. If we lose Hellebuck, we're done. Period.
Yeah, like
and I'm a Jets fan, so I'm just like praying that that doesn't happen. Yeah, I'd rather lose anybody else on our team than Hellebuck. True, we are boned. If we lose him.
True. Okay, so any other comments there on the Predators-Jets series?
Go Jets.
Fair enough.
I'm totally unbiased, I swear.
Again, that series, we're recording this Sunday night, so that series, by the time you
wraps up
hear tomorrow. This, if you're listening to this on Monday, you're getting ready probably for the whiteout party, if you're in Winnipeg.
I'm excited for that.
And that's game 6 tomorrow, right here. It's going to be absolute mayhem. Today, the Lightning finally beat the Bruins 3-1. So if you're listening to this, obviously that's already happened because we know.
No more Brad Marchand. Thank God.
Yeah, and we're about to watch the Golden Knights play the Sharks.
Let's go Sharks.
And Vegas is up 3-2, so they have it's a do or die here for San Jose. Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I saw a picture on Twitter, and it was a guy who he tagged the NHL Player Safety Committee. And it was a picture of Brad Marchand with one of those cones that a dog wears to, like, keep it from licking itself. It says, like, maybe this is how you fix the problem. And that was my favorite thing in the entire playoffs
I saw one with Brad Marchand with the,
like,
Hannibal Lecter mask on.
So you can't lick people, yeah.
Yeah, because apparently there's no penalty for that. And
it's just insane.
But what's funny is, and Callahan made the point when he was talking to the media after that game, you know, if you spit in someone's face, that's called a match penalty. You are automatically tossed from that game, automatically miss the next game, and you go to the disciplinary committee for possible further.
Well,
and so how is that different?
What's worse, licking somebody or spitting on someone? Because
I say they're equally disrespectful, and you're still covered with their saliva when it's over. So I think I would
agree,
the same.
Obviously, I would agree that they're covered in your saliva, but I think spitting in society has a more negative connotation than licking someone.
So if I'm mad at you and I walk up to you and I lick your face, what does that say to you?
They're equally gross, and I would equally not want someone to do that to me. But when, like, for people, if you don't like somebody or whatever, I'm not saying we do it, but a lot of times what someone will do is spit at somebody, spit at them, spit on them, whatever. If you think you're better than them or whatever, you don't like, oh, I'm better than you. I don't walk up and lick you. I would spit at you, right? So that's a little bit more of like,
yeah, but like they were right. In, yeah, he's just but we talked about it before. He's just an asshole.
The problem with him is that he continues to do the same thing, and he continues to just get warnings. Like, how many times do you have to do something before it's not a warning?
They showed
anymore?
How many times he'd done it. It was like half a dozen times.
That's my point. So, like, it's just like, oh, he did it this year in the playoffs. He did it last year in the playoffs. Oh, okay. Well, he's allowed one free pass every single playoffs. Like, what? Like, when is it just like, okay, that's suspended?
Have you ever been spit on?
No.
Okay.
Actually, once, but it was more of a joke than serious, and it was an accident. So okay. Not really.
Different.
Exactly.
I have been spit on. Okay. I play pretty competitive level soccer, and people who play competitive levels of any sport, it's a very similar mentality where you're just, oh, it's always just on. You're on all the time.
And, it's like a switch.
And so this guy didn't like what I had, like, if I can't remember if I had nudged him, you know, when the ball went out of bounds and I nudged him, or if I can't remember. Anyways. He didn't like whatever it was that I did. And he turned around and he literally spit on me as I was running away. And
yeah, that's unsportsmanlike. I don't like that.
It's gross. But
of course.
But if he had licked me, my reaction would have been much greater.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, spit on me.
Well, I think the difference is
you're absolutely an asshole and you're the worst kind of human. Get up. But you know, he gets the red card, gets tossed, because it's one of the worst sportsmanlike things you can do.
Of course.
It goes against the spirit of sports. Mm-hmm. But if he had licked me, my reaction would have been much worse.
Probably to punch him.
I would have probably broken his nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm, who did he lick? It wasn't. I don't think it was. Was it Callahan? I didn't think it was Callahan. It was his comment after the game.
I don't know.
But
somebody.
I honestly can't remember.
One of the Tampa Bay guys. It doesn't really matter who he likes.
I'm blanking on it. I'm blanking on it. But the point is, you know, if I'm. If some guy licks me while we're having an argument, I'm gonna remove his teeth, like that's an instinct. Whereas if he spits on me, like, that's absolute disrespect, and I might try and burn your house down. But in that moment, there isn't that immediate rage like when you get licked. It's like getting a, like
that's true.
Those two guys that faced off in the MMA, and the one guy kisses the other guy.
Oh yeah,
while they're facing off,
gets knocked out.
Like
like before the fight, and everyone thought the guy that punched him was wrong.
Yeah,
he kissed me, knocks him out. Oh, you can't knock someone out before the bell. Well,
he kissed me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like it was. It's just one of those things. Yeah. And because the proximity is worse, like I think it is equal or worse to spitting. And that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And he should have been penalized, and he should have been suspended, and especially he should have been suspended because it's not his first infraction.
Well, I think that's the big one right there. It's like, it's not a first infraction. It's like, he does this consistently. He does other things that are just as unsportsmanlike, or maybe not just, but pretty unsportsmanlike. Slew footing people, checking people from behind, cross checking, slashing.
We've been over it. He's an asshole.
Of course. But he does all these things, and he consistently has these hearings. So why does he never get suspended? Like, how many times do you have to like punch somebody before it's assault? You know, like, it's that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
How many times do you have to make a mistake before you finally get punished for that mistake?
Agreed. Right? But that said, the last laugh was had by the Lightning, who today beat the Bruins by a score of 3-1. So Tampa Bay is moving on to play either the Capitals or the Pens. The Pens also in a do or die situation tomorrow. The games, and they're doing the same thing again tomorrow where they have that half an hour
time difference.
I lied. No, the Jets game is at 8:30 here, so 9:30 Eastern. Never mind.
Yep.
You ignore me. Sometimes I'm a little high on the tea I'm drinking here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really hyped about Boston being eliminated.
I think most people are. Unless you're a Boston fan, you want them out of the playoffs.
But it's not because Marchand's an asshole or whatever. I just don't want, if Winnipeg gets through Nashville, I just don't want them to have to play the Bruins. Granted, it'll be in the Cup final, but
yeah, but the Bruins, like the Bruins would never have made it to the Cup.
I agree. In the off chance they did, I feel like that is the hardest matchup for the Jets.
Yeah,
it's always just a hard, like, grindy, like, annoying, like, shitty.
Well, anything
matchup
Marchand is involved in is probably going to be that annoying.
I think any team the Bruins play is just. The Bruins are annoying and
they're
people off.
But they used to be big and bruisy, and they're more get under your skin irritating.
Yeah,
and it drives me nuts. And I know that that's something that people like, but
I think if you're a Boston fan, if you're anyone else, you just want to murder them all. It's terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of animosity towards Boston from basically anybody who isn't a Boston fan. So let's end off by answering a couple of the questions we didn't have time to get to on our last Q&A episode. Here comes question one.
What do you think about the Golden Knights' performance this playoffs and the possibility of them making the playoffs next year?
That question comes to us from Joseph. I guess I'll field this one because I'm for sure on the Golden Knights bandwagon. Everybody says they're outperforming themselves, which maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But I expect that next year they're gonna perform. I mean, equally well, I would say. But again, there's so many variables because we don't know. They don't get a pick next year in the first round, and
see, I don't know if I agree with equally well because it's hard to be equally as good as like essentially world beating because they're just crushing every, like, not crushing, but they're like exceeding everybody's expectations, and every time you expect them to lose, they start winning again.
It's, but like, what's funny is just crazy. You listen to the guys on SportsCenter on TSN. You listen to the guys on SportsNet. You listen to the guys in the States on ESPN. You listen to them on NBC.
Essentially, every commentator.
All of them think that, or especially at the start of the playoffs, nobody thought that they were going to do anything in the playoffs.
It's crazy.
And it mind boggles me. I loaded up in my pool on Vegas players. Mm-hmm. I knew that they were the real deal, and like it just. It perplexes me that they keep saying everyone thought they were going to do poorly.
Well, I think they're basing that off the beginning of the season. Because
you mean when they went like 9-0 to start the year?
Historically, expansion teams have always been bad. Like the Thrashers were bad when they first came into the league. The Blue Jackets were bad. Like all of these teams were bad. But then what a lot of people don't realize is the NHL changed their expansion rules to allow essentially a better player to be taken from each team. Because before, teams could protect more players. So it was 9 forwards, 5 defensemen, or whatever. Now it's 7 forwards, 4 defensemen, or and a goalie, or whatever they are now, right? So you can take essentially a better player. So instead of a 6 defenseman, you can now take a top 6 defenseman or something.
Yeah. Right? But yeah, that's fair.
The thing about Vegas that I don't understand, or that's amazing to me, is like throughout the year, I was like, okay, it's just a phase. Like they're playing really well, and then I'm like, okay, like they're still playing really well. Okay, like eventually they're gonna fall off. Oh, they're still playing well. Oh, they're still playing well. They're still playing well, and it's never ended. And like you look at it on paper, it's like, how is this team good? They have essentially, like, maybe 2 second line forwards.
They literally have a table scraps.
They
have players.
2 second line best at best second line forwards playing on the first line, and they got nothing else. And they have a goalie who was everybody thought out of his prime and on the decline. Clearly has shown that he's not based on this season.
But it's
just crazy.
Remember the start of the year though? You go back to the start of the year again. Remember they were playing this guy whose name was Dansk or whatever. That was their
Dansk.
Yeah. Dansk, and it was their third stringer. And because Fleury got hurt, Subban got hurt.
Oscar Dansk.
And then he got hurt. And then they started playing their fourth string. Mm-hmm. The guy who was backing up their AHL affiliate is now their starting goaltender, and they were still winning games. It almost didn't matter. I could have went and played goalie for them.
I honestly think that it's just there's some sort of like camaraderie that came together as these players that were like, oh, my original team didn't want me, so now I want to do my best to go out and beat them. Right?
Yeah,
so
it's like, you make them pay for not protecting
me. So it's like there's just this like ultimate like camaraderie between all these teammates who just want to be world beaters, and then it just happened and everything worked out perfectly. Now, do I think they're going to be like a bottom feeder team like everyone expected next year? No. But do I think they're going to be like a top team in the league? No. Like I think they're either just going to squeak into the playoffs next year or just miss the playoffs, because this feels to me more like an anomaly year than a consistent year. Like, I don't think they have the type of team that, like, a Tampa Bay has where everyone expects them to just be good for a long time. Like, I think it's just pure luck that it happened this year. But we'll have to wait and see, because who knows?
Fair enough.
Maybe I'm just an idiot.
That I don't think you are. I don't think you're far from hitting the nail on the head there. One more question here. This one comes to us from Dan.
Do you think the Winnipeg Jets have what it takes to win the Stanley Cup?
I'm going to let you handle this one.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Dan. Me and Adam are both on the same page here, as far as I know. The big thing that we're worried about with the Jets is injuries. If they lose Hellebuyck, or if they lose, say, Mark Scheifele or Blake Wheeler, I think it's going to be real tough. But at this point, assuming none of that happens, I think if they get through Nashville, whether it be in the game tomorrow, Game 6, or in Game 7, I think they have a really strong shot. With teams that I think are going to be the biggest problem to them gone, Nashville, Boston, I think they have a really strong shot.
Yeah, I would have to, again, I think you hit it on the head there, again, where you and I are on the same page. I think they definitely have a chance. Although, I would say that my biggest worry that is left, now that Boston's out and that matchup is not a possibility, mm-hmm. because as much as I don't think they would have made it to the finals, you were very right that the way they match up with Winnipeg would have been problematic for Winnipeg. But I think that Vegas is the next, is the big problem. If they get through Vegas, I think the Jets can win.
I
think this year it's whoever comes out of the West, be it Vegas or Jets, because I really don't think that the Sharks are going to beat the
the
Golden Knights.
I think right now it's between Vegas, Winnipeg, and Nashville, because I don't want to discount Nashville yet because they have two games.
Absolutely, but I mean, given the odds, right? The team that the Jets, if the Jets get through Nashville, I'm not worried about who comes out of the East.
Yeah, I'm
worried about Vegas.
See, I know everyone's going to say, you're sleeping on the Penguins. You're sleeping on the Penguins. I really think that the Jets match up really well against the Penguins. Obviously, they have Crosby. They have Malkin. They have Matt Murray. They've won two cups in a row. And they have all these things going for them that just, that you should just think that that makes them the odds-on favorite, no matter who they go against. But I just don't see them being the team they have been in the past. I think they're slowly on the decline. And I think Winnipeg only has upside, and I think it's just not going to be as close as people think it would be if it's Jets versus Penguins.
And I'm going to have to agree with you. With that, why don't we just sign off for now? We're going to watch some hockey, and we'll check in with you guys a little later on. Send us more questions. We love to do the Q&As. That's a lot of fun for us, and we really appreciate that. So any questions or comments, you can find us on Anchor. To send us those, or you can actually just email them to didyousethat@betease.com.
Have a good one.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Did You See That? We would like to thank our sponsor, BetEase. So please visit betease.com. That's BETEAZE.com for more information on how you can win up to $10,000 just by choosing who you think is going to win the World Cup.